Amen. Saints, we want to welcome you. We're so happy to see all of you. We're going to have some sharing from the brothers concerning our main burden, and then we're going to cover some practical matters.
Well, dear saints, it's what a blessing to have such a good number of children, and what a blessing to have such a good number of parents and serving ones to take care of them. Amen. What a blessing to the church. Thank the Lord for giving us this time together and for a beginning of a new year of serving with the children starting next week. So I'm going to just speak for a few minutes regarding a point of burden, and Brother Albert will continue. And the little outline is a little sheet that I put together to try to point out an important emphasis that we'd like to keep in mind as we serve with the children, as we parent the children, apply this point through some aspects of Ezekiel, you know, since we're on that and we'll be beginning that. So we have a sequence of verses here that I hope will be able to bring forth a burden that we have regarding our care for the children. So I'll just read through this with you, huh? Serving our children according to the dimensions of the temple seen by Ezekiel. One, our serving for the building up of the church, including our serving with the children, should not be according to human thought and tradition, but according to the divine intention. So we realize that as far as care for the children is concerned, there are a lot of approaches, a lot of philosophies, a lot of things that you may have experienced in your growing up or may have observed that may be part of a social, a cultural, or a particular Christian or denominational way, but may not be related to the divine way. The divine way. So we would like to fellowship and have everything that we do be absolutely scriptural and in the tradition and way of the Lord's recovery. So this is an important principle, and this is in Ezekiel chapter 40, where we have the vision. You remember the final vision of Ezekiel of God's building his temple and its compound that we covered in the semi-annual training. In verse 5, it says, each cubit, as the measurement of the various aspects of the temple, was not just a cubit, but was a cubit and a hand breadth. And this meant that the measurement for God's building isn't the typical common secular measurement, but is a specific new, definite measurement that pertains to God's building, indicating his plan, his way, his arrangement, is different and distinct. It's a cubit and a handbreadth. It's something different than is used in other settings. And so likewise, as we're taking care of the children, we do so specifically with a view to what has been open to us in the way of the Lord's recovery, in its opening of the scriptures regarding how to take care of the children. Now, in that way, we have point two. Our care for the children should emphasize not elevated experiential spiritual truths, nor should it involve certain kinds of images, nor should it involve dramas and skits. But it involves certain emphases that allow our children to be prepared as vessels at the proper time to be able to meet the Lord in a substantial way and come to him to have a life of usefulness to him. So in this emphasis, our care for our children should emphasize the important matter of fostering the development of their character. So in these formative years, these years of custody under, quote-unquote, the law, if you will, learning how to be disciplined, learning right and wrong, learning learning to know God himself in an initial way. An important emphasis is on the development of the children's character so they can be good and proper vessels again at the right time to be able to receive the Lord. Now, point three says, our church life, as signified by the temple in Ezekiel's vision, the church life is to bear the expression of the human living of the Lord Jesus. So this is our church life. We live out the Lord Jesus. As we serve our children in and for the church life, all that we do should express the humanity of Jesus. So we'll try to apply this now to the revelation, the vision of God's temple, his building in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 44. Basically, you'll remember from the training and from our reading of these verses, that a recurring and prominent number is the number 6. So 6 occurs again and again. Multiples of 6 occur again and again. And the recurrent use of the number 6 matches the fact that God cannot have his final building and the church life that it is one of its significances unless we're able to have in our living the expression of the humanity of Jesus. So in our care for the children, we'd like to arrive at this. So our living out and modeling as examples and patterns, this kind of living enables the children to have a guide, have an orientation for the sake of the building up of their character and for the sake of their realization of what is real and what their orientation markers are. They can have this kind of life lived out before them. So as the serving ones, we would like to be such persons. So the verses here are verse 3 and verse 5. And verse 3 refers to the Lord himself. It says, he brought me there, and there was a man who was the Lord Jesus, whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. And he was going to do some measuring. So he has a measuring reed in his hand, and he's standing at the gate. And then that reed, it goes on to say, measured 6 cubits. So the measuring unit for God's temple, for us, the measuring unit for the church life, is that it properly should be able to be measured and say, aha, number 6. So number 6 means what? Number 6 refers to the 6th of the 6 days of creation. It refers to how man came out of God's creating hand and was, before the fall, a man of his intent, a man of his intention. Then this man was fulfilled by the incarnation of God himself in the Lord Jesus to be the real man of number 6. To be the real man fulfilling this man on the 6th day. So in the typology of the tabernacle, when it has the number 6, it's referring to an aspect of the Lord Jesus himself in his living on the earth, in his proper humanity, which was upright, which was uplifted, which was square in the sense of being of proper character and human expression, which was aptly representative of God himself. As we serve now, we want to be persons who enter into this kind of expression for the sake of the children. Regardless of what materials we give them, if we give them the best and most proper materials, but they can't see in us this kind of expression, then those materials will leave them confused. Those materials need to match those who bring the materials and those who live out and embody those materials as they're with them in the neighborhood meetings, in the homes, and in the meetings of the church. So point four says, lack of proofreading here, it's supposed to be we are. We are able to foster the proper development of our children only to the extent that we live before them in the humanity of Jesus through our continuing contact and fellowship with him. So very much in the principle of what we enjoyed in our prophesying meeting and in our morning revival this week, our representing the Lord and bringing them into a proper understanding of what man is and what their character should be is not merely a matter of imitation of what the Lord Jesus was and saying, what would Jesus do? But the way we become the proper serving ones is we are those who have a living contact and burden with the Lord, burden for and contact with the Lord himself as a basis for our service, during our service, and as the substance of our service. So notice here, this is now in chapter 41, verse 3, it says, then he went into the inner temple and measured each post of the entrance, 2 cubits, and the entrance, 6 cubits. Here, the inner temple is the holiest of all, the inner sanctuary, where the presence of God was, and the entrance there was 6 cubits, indicating that it's as we have an aspiration to be such persons for our children, that aspiration will lend to us as the number 6, the entrance into the Lord's presence, where we can commune and have fellowship with him. Based upon that communion and fellowship, then, we can be with the children in a way that represents him. We can live him out. We can live him out. So, of course, this is our burden in the church life in general. Surely, our service with the children is no exception, but is a particular application of our desire to live a Christ-enjoying, Christ-contacting, and Christ-enthralled life, in which we enter into the holiest of all, contact him, and as a result, live as his extension and as his duplication, the life of Jesus. Okay, so quickly now, I'll just mention the subsequent points, and I'll try to end by 1 o'clock. Through the cultivation and strengthening of our fellowship and strengthened contact with the Lord, we are enabled to live out the humanity of Jesus in our family life, our church life, and before the children that we serve. And so, saints, based upon, this is quite a wonderful point, but the temple had around it side chambers. And those side chambers were in multiples of 6, again, the number 6. But there were three levels of them. And the dimensions of those levels of the side chambers, their dimensions were respectively 4, 5, and 6. These side chambers represent the dimensions of, they represent the expression of and the enlargement of the temple itself, indicating that in the church life we become his enlarged expression. And as we become his enlarged expression by entering into the holiest of all, we pass through an ascension where we go from an expression that is number 4, indicating man in a general sense, to an expression which is number 6, expressing man as a duplicate of the Lord Jesus himself. And this passes through number 5, which is the number of responsibility. Anyway, eventually, as we enjoy the Lord, we become this kind of expression, individually and in the church, that our children can observe as a pattern, come under this pattern and example, and learn this in the cultivation of their character. Then point 6 says, the humanity of Jesus born by us as we serve, observed by our children while we're with them, becomes a pattern to them as a separating line, another word left out, as a separating line that protects them from things that are not of God. So here, verse 5 of chapter 40 refers to the wall of the precincts, not of the temple itself, but of the precincts of the compound. There was a wall, and you'll remember its dimensions, right? It was 6 cubits square. Have you ever seen a wall that's a square, that's as wide as it is tall? 6 cubits tall and 6 cubits thick. This is the kind of substantial protection the compound had. That number 6 indicates that our living out of the humanity of Jesus protects the church life and our children as a separating line from everything on the outside that is not of God. Then number 7, the humanity of Jesus lived out by us as we serve and observe by our children is a strong factor that safeguards their eventual entry into the church life. So will the children, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, where will they be in junior high and high school? Will they be in the church life? Will they be preserved and protected? A lot has to do with the way we are with the Lord and the way we live. If we are the number 6, that becomes a safeguarding for them to make it into the church life. So in this point, in verses 10 and 12 of chapter 40, there was into the precincts, there was a gate which was actually a passageway. And that passageway also was characterized by the number 6, especially in the sense of having guard rooms. So it had guard rooms, 3 on one side, 3 on the other side, 6 in total, representing that the humanity of Jesus safeguards the entry of the person who wants to enter in. So we become guards, guardians, making a way for our children to come into the church life by living out Jesus, by taking care of the Lord in the holiest of all of our mingled spirit. And then point 8 says, the humanity of Jesus lived out by us as we serve and observe by our children also supports and sustains their entry into the church life. 40:15 says that the posts of this passageway were 60 cubits in their total dimension. So this is 6 times 10, meaning the completeness of the expression of the humanity of Jesus. In other words, this passageway was upheld by the humanity of Jesus in his expression. So I hope you're getting an impression that the church life depends upon our living out of Jesus, expressing the humanity of Jesus. And when we do that in our service with the children are safeguarded and protected in their entry into the church life. Amen. And then finally, the last point, point 9, the humanity of Jesus observed by our children as we serve them is the foundation, standing strength, and enclosure for the church life in which they are to be cared for and developed. So we've just described the passageway into the compound, but eventually they get to the very temple itself. And the temple itself represents the church life in fullness, the Lord himself and the church life enlarged in fullness. Now, in this church life as represented by the temple itself, the foundation was of 6 cubits. The posts that held up the temple were of 6 cubits. And what else? Oh, and the walls. And the walls of the temple themselves were of 6 cubits. So 6, 6, 6. The foundation was 6, the posts were 6, the walls were 6. These measurements refer to the temple as a typological representation of the church life we now live. As we enjoy and live out the humanity of Jesus, our children now have a basis, an enclosure, and a standing strength for them to enter into the church life. So let us be spirit-exercising persons who hold the head and enter in, into him as our reality in all things. And as we are such persons, we are the number six, and give our children the way to be preserved and kept for eventual entry into the church life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we all say praise the Lord? Can we also smile? I think everyone is so tired. And this is a special room because the speaker is looking at that clock and all of you are looking at this clock. And it's not exactly the same time. But praise the Lord. We can still all enjoy the Lord. Okay. You know, I'm so glad that Brother Rick shared all these things about the temple that is revealed in Ezekiel. And I'm really touched that all this revelation is for a purpose so that we can actually apply it. Don't you think that's wonderful? Amen. You know, the vision is for the application. Okay, I will continue with some sharing, but I would like to touch the sharing with some of the sharing that we did in FTTA. You know, FTTA also just started, and we have our last Saturday, we have our first message, okay? And that message is based on raising up the next generation. I hope if you are burdened to raise up the children, whether they are your own or the children that is in the church, that book is a very important book that you would all dive into. Okay? And actually, the first lessons that we have cover four chapters. So we are going to go through all those four chapters. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
All right. I know we don't have enough time, so I will try to finish according to that clock. By 1:30. Okay, it's according to the clock, not this one. Okay. And now when you go to the first four chapters of Raising Up the New Generation, it talks about these four things. You know, the first thing that it talks about is vessel unto honor for God's eternal economy. You know, what we are doing in serving the young people and the children is to raise up vessels. Vessels of mercy, vessel unto honor, vessel for the use of the Lord. This is actually what we are doing. You know, so when we are talking about raising up children and taking care of children, we are not actually doing it just for ourselves, just for our children, but actually it should be for God's eternal economy.
Amen.
That's chapter one. And the chapter two is talking about the body of Christ. This is the goal of the divine economy. You know, when we talk about doing the children's work, we should not think that we are doing something aside from what the Lord is doing. So it's not according to our, understanding. It's not according to our opinion. It's not according to what we think is right or wrong. But it's actually according to God's divine economy to build up the one body of Christ. Okay? I believe Brother Lee once said that if you talk about raising up children, it seems like every mother has their own idea as to what to do. Okay, so today we are not going to talk about what is your opinion and what is my opinion. You know, we want to talk about what is the Lord trying to do. Okay, what is it according to his divine economy? And so when we do children's work, it's actually for the same thing. Is for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, so in order to be able to do that, we go to chapter 3, which is called about keeping ourselves in the one flow of the Lord's work for the building up of the universal body of Christ. So this is not just a little part of what we are doing. Maybe you consider, you know, children's work is a really small work, you know, but we have to do it, you know, because we are asked to do it. But actually, this is part of the building up of the universal body of Christ.
Amen.
Don't you think that is wonderful?
Amen.
It's the universal body of Christ. To build up this, we have to help our children. We have to help our young people. we have to have our next generation participate in such a work. So actually, what you are doing is very important to the Lord and important to the divine economy of what the Lord is after. So this is chapter 3. Chapter 4 is talking about the importance of children and young people's work for the future of God's, of the Lord's recovery. The importance of the work of children and young people's work for the future of the Lord's recovery. This is a very important message because this is talking about that although we want to live a life as if the Lord is going to return today or as we turn the corner, you know, but we still need to plan as if the Lord will tarry. Okay, we cannot just say because we want the Lord to come back, we forget about everything. Our next generation is very, very important. You know, the Lord is coming, and he wants to come quickly. But even before the Lord comes, maybe we will be going. Okay? And so we must have a generation after us that will be able to carry out the recovery. Okay? So the Lord would continue to build up his body for the preparation of his bride so that he can bring in his kingdom for his coming back. So I believe all these messages are very, very clear. That's why it's in the first four messages of this book that we are here, not doing just a small work we are doing here. We are here to do a very important work for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, we have outlines, you know, in all those chapters and all this, you know. And I know today it's impossible to cover the whole outline. So I would like to do it this way. You know, from this fourth lesson, there is a lot of verses, you know, that is in that outline. But I would like to read to you some of those verses. And hopefully through these verses, we will be very much touched by what the Lord is after. Amen. I believe the Word of God is most effective in touching our heart. Okay? So the first verse I would like to read is in Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12 is saying, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly." Most of us remember this part of the verse, but this part of the verse is only a first four words. There is more to this verse. He said, "And my reward is with me to render to each one as his work is." You know, so he is coming quickly, but he is coming quickly also to do one thing, to reward those that do his work. You know, to reward those that do his work. So what are we supposed to be doing here today? We are here to build up the body of Christ. And the best way to do it is from our own children, from our own descendants, you know, which the Lord has given us for a time only. You know, it's for a time. If you miss that opportunity, they are gone. And of course, broadly shared so many times, you know, it's if we allow our children to go to the world and we have to save them back after so many years, that is not a very good way of working. It's not a very good way of working. So we need to preserve them even while we have them in our hand. You know, so this is very important. He is coming, but when he comes, he wants to reward us according to our work. So what are we doing here? We must be working the work of the Lord. Okay? And now what is the work of the Lord? You know, if you go back to Luke 18, verse 16 and 17, you know, there, the disciples, you know, think that to take care of the children is not so good. So they actually was preventing the children from coming to the Lord. You know, if we are not careful, we just might be doing the same thing as what those disciples is doing. You know, like how Brother Richard, by our behavior, by what we do, by what we say, we just might be doing the same thing as those disciples, preventing our children to come to the Lord. You know, we live with our children for a long time. You know, I mean to say, every day we live with them, even with so many hours. You know, the church has children's service, but they can only do so much because of time limit. But we, the children that we have, actually watch us every day as to how we are. And through our living, we could actually usher them into Christ and into the church, or we actually prevent them from coming to the Lord. You know, that's why the Lord says in Luke 18:16, he said, "But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Allow the little children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" For such is the kingdom of God. Okay, so if you want in to want to bring in the kingdom of God, you must allow the children to come. Okay, in the next verse, say, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, like the little children, shall by no means enter into it." Shall by no means. If you do not receive the kingdom of God like the little child, shall by no means enter into it. Okay? I believe we all touch the vision of the body of Christ through the sharing of Paul, right? And Paul is talking about, when he is talking about building up the body of Christ, he understands that what we have to do is when, from our babies. You know, that's why when he talks about Timothy, he says, it's from your birth you have known the sacred writing. Yeah. You know, for him to say this, he must think this is very important, you know. It is not Timothy all of a sudden one day, you know, he was saved, you know, so he becomes everything, and that is a co-worker of the Lord. He actually started while he is young. Oh, praise the Lord for his grandmother, praise the Lord for his mother. And today we are the grandmother and we are the mother. Okay? We are the serving ones. We must be able, you know, to teach them the sacred things, the sacred writings of the Lord, you know, so that they will be able to make, you know, them wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, you know, we talk about how important this work is. It's because of the days that we are in, right? And during Paul's times, he already saw that the days are quite evil. You know, that's why, you know, he shares so much. He did not stop himself from sharing everything that he has to Timothy and to all those disciples that are there. But what is the situation at that time? Maybe it's even worse at this time. If you go to 2 Timothy 3, 1, 2, and 3, he said, "But know this, that in the last day, difficult times will come. Difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Do you think we are in that time? I believe so. "Without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, not lovers of good." I believe this is the situation that we are in. So when Paul's time, it is that, I believe today, it's even much worse. So it makes this work even more important than when it was at Paul's time. It was at Paul's time. And we talk about, you know, how the enemy is gaining our young people even while they are young. Okay, this is the strategy of the enemy. You know, if you, I don't know if you have read articles about this, even those tobacco, you know, manufacturers, they try to gain the children. Because if they gain the children as a smoker, then they gain their whole life. If you gain an 80-year-old person, you know, by the time they smoke, they are probably dead. You know, so it is not a big commercial gain for the tobacco industry. So what they want to do is actually to gain, you know, younger ones, you know, as they were young. And actually, this is not a new thing. You know, nothing is new under the sun. So when you go back to Daniel 1:2, it talks about this, you know. He said, "Then the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, into the hands of the Babylonians, you know, and some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. You know, on the one hand, he's talking about those vessels that is from the temple, but actually we know that all of us are vessels, you know. What the enemy is trying to do is to bring us, we vessels, you know, out of the temple of God into his temple, out of the temple of God into his temple. This is his strategy. You know, I just hope that we would recognize this. But if you jump to verse 4, and then right away, you know, it turns from vessels to children. Verse 4 says, children in whom was no defect, who were good in appearance, who showed insight in all wisdom, understanding in knowledge, and apprehension in thought, and in whom was the ability to stand in the king's palace. And he told them to teach them the learning and language of the Chaldeans. You know, the enemy is after our children. Yeah. You know, I hope we understand this. You know, don't, you know, sit around and relax. Yeah. You know, I believe we need to be careful. Amen. What the enemy wants is our children. You know, this is even the instruction from the king to gain these children, you know, for himself and to teach them the learning and language of the Chaldeans. Don't you think that is terrible? We need to actually teach them the learning and language of the Lord's recovery, amen, of the divine economy of what the Lord is doing. So that before they were filled with all this filth, they will actually be filled with God's eternal economy. You know, so this is the time that we need to rise up and make sure we get this burden from the Lord so that we can work with the Lord, you know, for what he is after. All right. And then when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said something like this in 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. I believe this is what Rick is also saying. You know, do not let anyone despise your youth. You know, this one is talking about we make sure we don't despise our children for being young. And we don't allow them to despise themselves from being young. You know, it is not too early to dispense Christ into them, so that their whole life would actually be for the Lord. Amen. We have heard so many testimony of serving ones, you know, servants of the Lord. They were mostly gained when they were young. You know, their parents doesn't despise their youth. They don't think that they are too young. They don't think, you know, that the children are children, so let them do what they want and then try to save them in the future. You just may not be able to save them if you let them go today. You know, you must try to gain them now while they are in your hand. You know, so don't despise their youth. You know, their youth is created by the Lord as an open vessel for you to dispense Christ into them when they are still open. I just hope the Lord would touch us very much, you know. And in order to be able to do this, in 2 Corinthians 6:11, it talks about that we need the Lord to touch our heart so that our heart will be enlarged, not just to love our own children, but to love the children of other brothers and sisters. I think this is very important. You know, my children will help, not just by me, but I praise the Lord so much. He was surrounded by saints, by brothers who loved them. And actually their effect on them is much more than what I could do. You know, because their hearts are enlarged. They are not just concerned about their own children. They are also concerned about the children of other saints. That's why Brother Lee shared, you know, to the elders in Anaheim, that we all need to love one another's children. You know, if we love one another's children, I think we would spend and be spent for them so that they can go on with the Lord. Okay? And there was a verse in this outline also. And in the past, I never really saw the whole verse. And it is in 1 Kings 4:29. And that is from the prayer of Solomon. You know, when he became the king, you know, he prayed to the Lord. And most of us remember that he asked the Lord for wisdom. Okay, he asked the Lord for wisdom. But let me read you this verse. 1 Kings 4:29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and very much understanding." God gave Solomon. You know, after Solomon prayed, what did God give him? He gave him more than what he asked. He gave him, you know, wisdom and very much understanding and the largeness of heart. And the largeness of heart. Yeah. Oh, I just hope that we will all pray that the Lord will give us the largeness of heart. Yeah. You know, some of us serve the children's because we have children's in the children's meeting. So the fellowship is, if you have children in the children's meeting, you need to serve. But that is not a very small heart, but not a very large heart. Because you are obligated to do that. But I remember, when I started serving the children, I was not even married. You know, and I have no thought of getting married. But I start serving the children. Don't you think that's wonderful? You know, those are some of the golden years that I have. You know, I just serve the children. And I think that this is a very important service that I can have because it actually trained me for the church life. You know, so it is not just a Lord's Day morning message. You know, some of the brothers, we meet during the day. We discuss what we are going to share so that we can all dispense Christ. And then during the week, we also go visit them. Oh, those visitations are wonderful. Because when you visit the children, you know, you have to visit the parents. Don't you think that's wonderful? And you can gain the children and the parents. And usually, if you want to visit the parents, they may give you a lot of reason why they are so busy. But when you say, "Oh, I'm here to visit your children," usually they say, "Oh, please come." But they are also there. So you can actually kill so many birds with one stone. Don't you think that's wonderful? You know, we need to work wisely. Not just diligently, but wisely. You know, serving the children is a very, very important thing and also a very useful training for our church life. You know, we must ask the Lord to enlarge our heart to also include others. Okay? And we all know that when the Lord gains people, so many examples in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, he gains people while they were young. Like he gained Moses while he was very young. Okay? You may say, oh, the Lord came to him when he was 80 years old. But we know, you know, he was taken care of by his mother, who must have told him that he is not an Egyptian, he's a Hebrew. You know, to this day, to be a Hebrew is not a glorious thing. Okay? But Moses recognized, even from his youth, that he is different. He is a Hebrew. You know, I praise the Lord very much because from my youth, my mother makes us understand that we are not just Christians. We are Christians in the Lord's recovery. Amen. You know, so although I went to 12-year school in the Baptist church, in Baptist school, I know that I'm different from them. I'm not just a Christian. I am the Christian in the church life. You know, our calling is much higher than the Baptist. You know, I have full realization of that. You know, we must bring this to the realization of our children. You know, otherwise our children will grow up thinking that just being a Christian is good enough. Then they depart, they go to other denominations, they go to other places. You know, this is a very sad thing when I see this. You know, we must share with our children all the things that the Lord has touched us. This is for the growth of the church life. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. When we talk about building up of the body of Christ, it means that the members of the body must increase. And also these members must grow with the growth of God so that they will grow unto maturity. And this requires so many of our sharing, so many of our care for our younger generation, so that they can start even to serve the Lord while they were still young. Let me give you the last verse here. Maybe the last verse, maybe more. No, it's not the last verse. I have 3 more minutes according to that. Okay, 1 Samuel 3:1. And the boy Samuel, ministered to Jehovah. Don't you think that's wonderful? And the boy Samuel ministered to Jehovah. Oh, may all our boys, all our children, minister to Jehovah. Okay? So for us to be able to do this, we need to go back to what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6. But you, be sober in all things. Be sober in all things. That means, you know, we must consider very much before the Lord and allow the Lord to renew our mind, to touch us with this very burden of how we are here for the purpose only for the building up of the body of Christ. And we are not here just to go out and preach the gospel to the people in the world. That is very good, but that is not the only thing that we need to do. We need to take care of our own children, okay? So that the Lord will actually gain them for his own. You know, some may say, you know, we have been waiting for the Lord to come back. How come the Lord is not back yet? And according to this item, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord does not delay regarding the promise, as some count delay, but is long-suffering toward you, not intending that any perish, but that all advance to repentance. Praise the Lord. The Lord has given us some time. Okay? The Lord is still merciful. You know, we still have today, and I believe we still have tomorrow. You know, all this is talking about, you know, the long suffering of the Lord to give us opportunity. So we need to take this from the Lord. You know, we cannot say, you know, oh, this is for other people. This is for us. This is for us as parents. This is for us as serving ones. We need to take this opportunity to serve our Lord by raising up all these next generations so that they can all be members and members that will grow unto full maturity for the building up of the body of Christ. So I hope the Lord would touch us very much regarding this. Okay?
We're going to shift gears very much here to some practical matters. Amen. It's really a precious thing to serve the young people and the children. Anyhow, I'll stay in my lane. Praise the Lord. Okay. A year ago, the church in Anaheim adopted a policy for the protection of children and young people. And so one of the things we want to do as the new ones are brought into service and as a new year begins is to bring this matter back to your attention. So I know a lot of you already have this, but if you do not, we'd like to give you a copy of this policy. So I'd like to get some help to pass these out. If you don't have a copy of the policy, Maybe if you're a couple, you can take one. For the couple, we may have more than we need. I don't know. Thank you. So just put your hand up if you don't have this policy or haven't seen it. I'm not going to cover it in any detail. I'd just like to mention a couple of things. One is related to those who would be beginning to serve with the children and young people, and that is there are certain steps that we now take, and that is that you need to fill out an application. And on that application, we'll ask you to provide a couple of references that some brothers will check. And we also do a background check with a ministry service. This policy is actually for the church's protection, it's for the children's protection, and it's for your protection. So the third thing that's in there, or that you'll be asked to do, is to sign a statement that you've read the policy and you agree to follow the terms of the policy. And so I have that here as well. For those of you who are just now entering into the service with the children and young people, would you put up your hand? And there's three documents here. They're bunched together. Okay. Thank you. There's a separate form for the young people, and so this is not for the young people, the volunteers. These are for the adult volunteers. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so just to review, there's the application form. On that application, you're asked for two references. There's a letter there that explains the screening and how to go about the screening. You just sign on to a website, provide them some basic information. They will submit it for the background check, which will then be go to the brothers who are charged with this responsibility. No cost to you, and it's kept confidential. Okay. The other thing to read in the policy is that there are a number of standards that are stated regarding the service and how we interact with the young people, again, for your protection as well as for their protection. Okay? So please do read that policy. Yes, right. I mean, if you're a couple, you each need to submit an application. Right. Yes. Now, on the letter that's there, you'll see a couple of names at the very end. Brother Chuck Nguyen and Chuy Garcia. These two brothers have agreed to be the policy monitors, ones who oversee the implementation of this policy. I will tell you that both of these brothers have a lot of experience that suits them to this task. One of the brothers has been in the social work area for a long time. The other one's been a teacher for a long time. They've dealt with these kinds of issues, and they're quite versant in the privacy-related matters. Okay. So that's also worth noting for all of you brothers that are overseeing the various areas of service, that these are the two brothers who you would interact with regarding issues related to the policy. There was a meeting last year where we went over the policy in detail, and rather than doing that again, I'd just like to give you the website. It's on the Church in Anaheim website. If you want to view the video, and it's real simple, it's churchinanaheim.org/video/, and then this is the only hard part, all caps, PPCYP, PPCYP, which is the Policy for the Protection of Children and Young People, .mp4. If you have any question, you can ask me. I'll get it to you. Okay? But it's churchatanaheim.org/video/PPCYP.mp4. Okay? I think that's really all I need to say. I think it's all there in your hands. Please do look at that policy. There's a lot of helpful guidelines there. Okay? Very good. Thank you.
Okay. We will use about no more than 10 minutes for some general announcements. And then we will divide by districts and by levels to have a specific fellowship regarding to our new term. I asked that Brother Andy and Brother Michael if you can, if there is something that you need to announce for all districts, this is the time. The first announcement is we have good news. We have a new form, and this term is going to be one form per family, not one form per child. Okay? So those of you that have several children, you only have to fill up one form. But we ask you to please do so as soon as possible, okay? And help us with the other serving ones and with the parents to have this fill up across all districts. This is for all districts. You know, we're growing and growing. I think we expect about 115 children this term, and the only way we can properly care for them is with your cooperation. So I will go ahead and ask the brothers to help me distribute this. Among is each one per family. If you already filled it up, you don't. I mean, this is for the new term, okay? So we all need to fill it up for this new term. It doesn't matter if you fill it up a year ago or 6 months ago. No, this is for the new term. You probably, if you fill up the form that was blue color, that doesn't count. Okay, this is a brand new form. Okay, so please return these as soon as possible. Okay, just return it to the serving ones in your respective districts. Perhaps we can ask Brother Andy, Brother Tim Graver in District 3, Brother Michael Quinones, District 4. You can go to Sister Susana Rosario or in District 5, and you can go either to Brother Ben Lohart or myself, District 1 and 2, to submit these forms. We want to gather these forms as soon as possible. These are very important and useful to us. The other matter that I wanted to bring up to your attention is just a reminder that every Thursday at 7:30 p.m., we gather here at 1900 West Ball Road, and the first 30 minutes are for everybody to come. We can all come together to pray for our children. So you might not be able to come every Thursday, but if you can come every other Thursday, and you don't have to stay until 9:30 like most of the serving ones do in the coordination, if you can only just stay for 30 minutes, it will make a big difference. It has made an impact in our service. Those of us that have paid the price to simply come, you know, first of all, you will receive nourishment for your service. You will have a chance to blend with other serving ones. And even more, the Lord will give us this largeness of heart. We will begin to bring not just our own children, but the children of the church before the Lord. Okay? So this meeting is for all of us. Every Thursday, 7:30. So consider giving your time for this time together. Of course, we expect that this fellowship that we had received will be follow up by you taking the initiative to schedule times at your own level with your team of serving ones to have continuous fellowship. We depend on these times of prayer and fellowship for us to receive the supply and the guidance from the Lord. May the Lord save us from following the way of the nations. I really appreciate the word that was spoken this morning to us. You know, Christianity is following the way of the nations mostly. And for sure in Christianity, you will not see the vision that Ezekiel saw. And we will not be applied the pattern of the temple. It is only here that we are actually ushering our children into the church life and into the building of the body of Christ. Right? It is in the recovery, the only place. But the question is, are we in the recovery? Are we being recovered to participate in this kind of church life? So may the Lord save us in order for these children to be saved. May the Lord shepherd us for these children to be shepherded.
Amen.
Now, another thing that I want to mention is we have the forms that Brother Bill Bontain mentioned concerning the young persons. I'm going to give some for District 3 to Brother Andy, and I'll give some to Brother Michael. And I'll take a good chunk of this to our gathering with District 1 and 2, because just District 1 and 2, we have 40 young people serving with the children. So more and more, we are realizing serving with the children is not just serving with the children, but is actually taking care of the families in the church life, right? And we should receive this largeness of heart from the Lord to consider that we are not just caring for the children, we are caring for those that we are serving with, and among them especially for the young people serving with us. So may the Lord enlarge our heart to consider these young people serving with us and for us to find ways to shepherd them. Hopefully we are not going to see them only once a month when it's our turn to serve with the children. But we will find ways to actually shepherd them.